Ricky Skaggs was just a little boy growing up in the small town of Cordell, Kentucky, when he first picked up a mandolin. Now, at that time, most young kids who were interested in music were learning traditional songs on the fiddle or the guitar. Mandolin, quite unusual. With the help of bluegrass masters like Bill Monroe, Ricky burst onto the bluegrass scene at the slim age of 21. Today, he is a legend in the world of bluegrass and country, and he's got a new autobiography. It's called Kentucky Traveler, My Life in Music. Ricky Skaggs is going to be performing as part of the Skaggs Family Christmas tomorrow night at the Carolina Theater in Durham. But first, he joins us on the State of Things. Ricky Skaggs, pleasure to have you.
How are you, Frank?
I couldn't be better, all the better for talking with you. You decided to pick up the mandolin at a tender age. What attracted you to that instrument, and how big a part was music in your household?
Well, you know, it's really funny. We grew up kind of just listening to the radio and had very, very limited television in, you know, 1958, 59, that kind of thing. And so I think much of it was just the fact that my dad bought me an instrument that I didn't have at all. We didn't even have a guitar at the house at the time, and stuck it in my bed. It was a gift. And gosh, you know, when your dad gives you a gift, you're going to want to do something with it. But it was little, it was tiny. So was I. It fit my hands. You know, I put my left hand around the neck, and it just felt right, and it's felt right all these years later now. So,
and it's nice that the strings are tiny, and there's two of them together. So if you miss one, you get the other one. Not bad for a little kid.
Yeah, right? That's right. That's pretty easy. It's a fail-safe.
That is a hard instrument to play, and you had the unmitigated nerve at the age of 7 on the Flatt and Scruggs TV show with Earl Flatt and Lester Scruggs, Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs. Forgive me. On that TV show, you sat there and said you wanted to do something. They said, what do you want to do? And you said, I want to pick. Let's listen to that clip.
Early. He's drawn back here with his mandolin and says he wants to pick.
Put him on.
Take him right over to that mic. It's just down to just about his size. What are you going to pick?
Foggy Mountain Spaghetti.
Foggy Mountain Spaghetti. Let's hear it.
Ricky, that's good at any age. You were 7 years old on the Flatt and Scruggs TV show. Ricky Skaggs, my guest, going to be at the Carolina Theater tomorrow with the Skaggs Family Christmas. Do you remember that show? You remember being on that show?
I do, and I remember that fine North Carolina banjo player, Earl Scruggs, and was a great friend, and got to spend a lot of time with him, especially after we moved to Nashville back in the 80s. Yeah, I do remember that, and one of the things I really remember about it is when they sent us a letter in the mail letting us know when the show was going to be aired. Mom got the dinner dishes all put away early so that we could, you know, finish up and get in there and watch the television show when it came on. And when I saw myself walk out on the television set, I was so shy at 7 years old. I ran into my bedrooms and got under my bed and would not watch the show. I listened to it, but I wouldn't watch it.
Well, that's pretty amazing because you had the forgive me for interrupting. Go ahead.
No, I just want to say, and so for probably 30 years after that, you know, I looked for that video, tried to find a copy of it, you know, and it was very hard to find, but a friend of mine from Virginia found it and sent me a copy of it. So I sat with my two youngest kids in my lap and watched that show, and they couldn't believe their dad was ever that little was one thing, and the Vacation Bible School haircut was quite a thing.
Well, but you had the courage to appear on the show. That's the shocking thing. If you're that shy, you can't even watch yourself. What was going through your mind and stomach when you were sitting there with those two guys?
You know, it's funny. Playing live didn't bother me. Wow. You know, I mean, I'd played with Bill Monroe a year before that up in Kentucky. And so I've been used to playing, you know, at church and playing in front of people and playing little talent shows and stuff like that. But I think just the medium of television, because it was so new to us in the mountains, and as a child, I'd only seen a few things on TV, and I think just seeing myself on there and not understanding the whole videotape, deal, it was really, really strange. And I heard a story too about my great grandmother up in Kentucky. While that show was being broadcast, she walked up to the television set and reached down and bent down and kissed it, thinking I could feel that, all the way wherever I was, there in Tennessee. Thought it was live and thought she could, thought I could feel it, and just patted my face, So that's the kind of old, pure-hearted people and common, people that I grew up with in Kentucky in the mountains, and I'm proud that I was from there. My book talks a lot about that Kentucky traveler.
You talked about your mentorship with Bill Monroe, too. Tell us how that got started.
Well, I met him, when I was six. We heard that he was coming to Eastern Kentucky there at a little place called Martha, Kentucky. And so we went to see him. I didn't take an instrument with me. I hadn't been playing that long. And so anyway, we went there to see him play. And after about 30 minutes into his show, some of the neighbors in the hood that had seen me at church and seen me at Butler's grocery store had, started requesting let Little Ricky Scatch get up and sing a song, And so he didn't pay much attention to it at the time, so he did another song or two of his, and sure enough, while the neighbors started shouting out again, so finally, I think, just to get it over with and get his show back on the on track, he invited me up there on the stage, but he had no idea how little I was, he invited me up, but I don't think he knew he was inviting a six-year-old up on stage with him. But anyway, he let me play his mandolin, and I sang a song called Ruby, Are You Mad at Your Man, which I never understood why she was mad. But it was quite a night. But I fell in love with Bill Monroe that night because I saw a man that was very giving and very very kind to me. I wasn't afraid to back up out of the spotlight and let a little kid shine for 3 minutes. It was a really sweet thing, and so I've always honored him for that, for that one act. It was worth honor,
What kind of relationship did you have with him after that, and how much did he teach you?
Well, I got to spend a lot of time with him. I never was in his band. I never got to play as a bluegrass boy in his band. Even Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead said he would have, at the end of his life, he wishes that he could have, been a bluegrass boy even for one day, But that was a, there was a lot of people that was in his band for sure. But I got to spend a lot of time with him. He started going to a church that we were going to there in Hendersonville, Tennessee. And of course, when I came to Nashville and got a country music career started, I wanted to involve my heroes and my mentors that had helped me to get there. So I did a video called Country Boy that was shot at Times Square in New York. Mr. Monroe plays the part of my Uncle Penn. He comes to New York and just kind of chews me out in his thinking that I had gotten a little above my raisin. I had this big fancy attorney's office and was making money and doing well. But anyway, he comes up and I have to convince him that I'm still a country boy, So anyway, he's in that video and we get to spend a lot of time together after that, he passed away in 1996. But we had a lot of time, there'd be times I'd go over to his house, before I had to go pick the kids up at school, and I'd just play two or three hours with him, just sit there and play mandolins. We just sat and we wouldn't say 15 words, And I'd say, well, Mr. Bill, I got to go get the kids at school now, and it's really good to be with you today. And he'd say, yeah, I believe we did good today, And that was a good day for him to just have someone come and sit around and play mandolin with him, But I loved him. He was so deep. He had a lot going on in his mind. And you imagine a guy that was born in 1911 that grew up through the Depression and saw, two world wars and a Korean War and the Vietnam War, all of that stuff, and survived Elvis Presley in the 50s, mm-hmm. survived the Beatles in the 60s, and survived Nashville all the way. That was a pretty amazing thing to take to your grave.
Hey, I'm out of time, but you know, you mentioned Earl Scruggs, of course, being from North Carolina and Nashville, whatever influence it might have. And I know you've spent time in D.C., another big bluegrass area, but pretty cool that Raleigh is now the home for the IBMA, the International Bluegrass Musicians Association. What does it say for this area? I got about 8 seconds left, but kind of cool, huh?
It's very cool, and really enjoyed coming there and coming to the show last year. It was a great location, a great place for it, and the city really turned out for it.
Great to have you back. Ricky Skaggs performing as part of Skaggs Family Christmas tomorrow. The autobiography is called Kentucky Traveler, My Life in Music. So good to talk to you.
Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it.
Coming up next, the sound of Peter Lamb and the Wolves. Stay tuned. Christmas time's coming. Christmas time's coming. Christmas time's coming.